2 Kings chapter 2. We'll be looking at a familiar story here in the Bible, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elisha here in 2 Kings chapter 2. And I'll begin reading in verse 1 and we'll read through this account here. 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and he rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I'm going to preach a message here on a whirlwind of a day. A whirlwind of a day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And I come to you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, you'll give me your words to speak the truth from this passage here in your Bible, in your word. And Lord, everything that's done here will be for your honor, for your glory. And I do pray, Lord, if there is someone here who has never trusted you as their Savior, I pray today will be the day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in 2 Kings chapter 2, we read about two of the greatest prophets in all of Israel's history, Elijah and Elisha. And we know that the life of Elijah has been a whirlwind of events, the highs and lows ever since he came on the scene out of nowhere and he confronted the wicked King Ahab, to the dry brook, the widow's house, to his great victory on Mount Carmel, where he prayed down fire from heaven and he slew 450 prophets of Baal, all the way to his fall into discouragement, depression, and all the way to his home going here that we just read about, by way of a whirlwind. You see, Elijah was a man of God. He was a man of God. He was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He didn't mess around in the foolishness of the world. He stood for truth. He took his orders from God, and he worshipped the one true God, God Jehovah, and he preached with authority, and he preached with boldness, and he didn't care who he preached to as long as he was preaching the Word of God. Amen. But there comes a day for everyone. There comes a day when we all will leave this world, a day when our course will be over, and this day would prove to be a whirlwind of a day. For over 20 years, the prophet Elijah had been ministering to the nation of Israel. Over 20 years. And now, the end of his ministry had arrived. The very day that he would leave this world had arrived, and he knew it. This would be the day that Elijah would be taken into heaven by way of a whirlwind without experiencing death. Enoch is the only other person that we read about in the Bible that escaped death. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. So today, we're just going to look at this here, and I got a few truths I want you to see from our text here of a whirlwind of a day. First thing I have is I want you to see the parting of the two prophets here, and we'll see that in verses 1 through 7. But first of all, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Verse number 1 tells us right off the bat that this is the day that the Lord's going to take Elijah. It's going to be by way of a whirlwind. You might think, what is a whirlwind? Now, living in the South, you might know what a whirlwind is. You might be familiar with it, right? The definition is a whirlwind. It's a violent wind moving in a circle, raising and whirling dust and debris and anything you can. Basically, in my mind, I'm thinking of a tornado, right? A tornado, a whirlwind. But this whirlwind of a day for these two prophets begins in the town of Gilgal, which is about 8 or 9 miles north of Bethel. And before this trip even begins, Elijah makes his request known to Elisha to tarry here. He says, "Stay behind. You don't need to go. You don't need to make the trip. Just stay here." 3 times we see him do this. In verse 2, it says, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee." It says, "For the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And this is what Elisha said. "Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. It says it again in verse 4. "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Same thing, he says, "I'm not leaving you." Verse number 6, "Elijah said unto him again the third time, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." He says, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. All 3 times, Elisha gives the response, "I'm not leaving you. It doesn't matter what happens, what's going to take place. I have been faithful up till now, and I'm not leaving you." Hey, Christians, how about we get around some Elijahs, some godly people, and we just start learning from them. We just stick by them. We don't leave their sight. We need to quit running to these rebels in the world, quit running to the carnal people, the ungodly people. You will become what you are around. You will become what you are around. The dirty rag and the clean rag, you know that? The dirty rag doesn't make the clean rag does, you know, the dirty rag makes the clean rag dirty. That one, you know? But we just need to quit running to the rebels. The parting of the prophets here is going to be an all-day thing. It's going to be an all-day journey. It's going to be an all-day trip. It's not going to be one of those little hikes that we like to go on now. We like to go on the paved road hike or the trail hikes where they're nice and easy. And when we get a little tired, we just turn around and come home. No, this here is going to cover about 35 miles in the wilderness. It's going to be a difficult, grueling journey. And you know what? It's not going to be on a paved road. It's not going to be in a vehicle with air conditioner. No, it's going to be a tough journey. Land as high as 3,000 feet. above sea level, land as low as 1,000 feet below sea level. But Elisha says, it doesn't matter. I'm making the journey. I'm going with you. I want to see what happens. I want to be there. I want to not leave your side. But this would be no surprise to us because we know that Elisha was committed since day one. If you turn back a few pages to 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha was committed since day one. He's been committed. He was faithful. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19, it says, So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Elisha is out in the field working. Elijah comes by and throws his mantle on him. In verse 20, it says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And that was approximately 20 years earlier than our text in 2 Kings, and he's still faithful. He's still committed. That day that Elijah walked by and threw his mantle on him, Elisha was in the field plowing, and he knew what that meant. I mean, if we were out in our field working and some guy threw a coat at us, what would we think? We'd probably think, this guy's, why is he doing? Come get your coat and take it with you. Don't leave it here. But Elisha knew what it meant. Elisha knew that it meant that one day he's going to take Elijah's spot. One day he's going to take and do what Elijah has been doing. And he proved his commitment since that day. He proved it by killing two of the oxen and burning the wooden tools in the fire. He basically is burning his bridges. He's saying, hey, I'm not going back. I'm burning what is mine, what is my livelihood. I'm burning it. I'm getting rid of it. It's my past. I'm not going back to it. And I'm following Elijah. And that was 20 years since that happened. Now, I remember whenever I retired from the Air Force in December of 2018, I knew that I was going to Bible college and that the Lord had other plans for me to do other than the military. And when we moved to Madison, Alabama, there's a big army post there, and it's a big civilian post. They have a lot of jobs. And so a lot of people would say, hey, give me your resume. I'll get you a job. Give me your resume. I'll get you a job. And I'm like, no, I don't believe that's what the Lord would have me to do. I just came out of that. You know, I think the Lord's leading me in this direction here. I'm not going back to that. The Lord has something else for me to do. And Elisha's saying the same thing. Hey, I'm not going back to my livelihood. God has something else for me to do. So what about your commitment? Elisha was committed since day one. Are you committed? Is your commitment today as strong as it was then? In church attendance, Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What about our Bible reading time? Are we committed to reading our Bible? Do we read the Bible daily? Do we have some kind of a daily Bible reading? Are we committed? What about prayer? The Bible says to pray without ceasing. We are to always be in prayer. But are we committed to these things? In verses 3 and 5 here, we see within the towns that they went to in Bethel and Jericho that there were sons of the prophets. This here is referring to Bible college students. Students training for the work of a prophet. And they go there, and the sons of the prophet came to Elisha in these verses and said to them, hey, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elisha knew this was the day. Elisha and Elijah both knew this was the day that he was going to leave them. And Elisha wanted to be with him until the very end. He was committed. He was committed to going on this journey, this hike, to this destination. He didn't know what was going to happen, how it was going to happen, other than it was going to be by a whirlwind, but he didn't know when. But Elisha was committed since day one, and he's committed to the end. In verse 7, look at this, it says, there were 50 men. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and get this, and stood to view afar off. With all their education, with all their knowledge, with all their capabilities, all they were interested in was being spectators. To view afar off. They didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get close to the action. They just wanted to be spectators. Spectators. No commitment. All over Christianity today, we have no commitment. We have no commitment to Sunday school, no commitment to Sunday night, no commitment to Wednesday night. Hey, I'm just asking, are you an Elisha? Are you committed? That's all I'm asking. Are you committed? There's an illustration about commitment in the Lord's service. The illustration talks about a person who will dive off of a diving board, at great height, say 100 feet, right? The commitment isn't climbing up the ladder, right? That's not commitment, because you can turn back around and walk down. Commitment isn't climbing the ladder and walking out onto the diving board, because again, you can turn back around. And that's what most people like. They like that kind of commitment, because at any time the preacher offends them or somebody offends them, they can just turn around and go somewhere else or do something else. But the Lord Jesus talks about commitment. He's talking about when that person jumps. When they jump, there's a commitment, because there's no turning back. He uses this in Luke chapter 18 with the rich young ruler. Remember, the rich young ruler comes to him, and he's rich. He has all these things. And Jesus saw right to his heart. And he says, hey, sell all your goods and come follow me. And what happened? The rich young ruler left lost. He didn't want to sell his goods. He loved his goods. He wanted to have those goods. He did not have the commitment that it took to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many of us today, we do not have that commitment. And why is that? Because we want a little bit of the church. We want a little bit of the Lord. But we want to have all of the world. Right? We want to have all of the world. And so we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. We can't be filled with the Holy Spirit when we're filled with the world. When we're so engulfed on things of the world and all these things that the world wants to offer and give us, it's all lies of the devil. But there's no commitment. There's no commitment to following the Lord Jesus Christ. He says you can't have both. You can't have both. If you love the world, you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no commitment. All I'm simply saying here is Elisha was committed from day one all the way to our text in 2 Kings, and it's been some 20 years. Gilead Baptist Church, are we committed? Are we committed? Are we committed to move forward? No matter what it takes, are we committed? Let me move on here. Number two, we're going to see the parting of the Jordan for Elijah, verses 8 through 10. In verse 8, it says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. Here we go. Elijah and Elisha come to the Jordan River, and they need to get across. There's this river in the way. What are they going to do to get across? Well, Elijah takes his mantle, and he smokes the water, and the waters part. And they walk across on dry ground. So not only is the miracle in the parting of the Jordan, but it's also a miracle in the dry ground. Okay? Because typically, when there's water there in the river, the mud would be so thick you wouldn't be able to walk across it. But verse 9 tells us an interesting thing here. Rather peculiar question. When they get across in verse 9, it says, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. ask what I shall do for you. It reminds me of when God asked Solomon kind of the same question. What should I give thee? Solomon asked for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1:7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Right, the same thing, ask what I shall give thee. Here Elijah asked, what shall I do for you? Elijah gives this promise to Elisha. He didn't give it to any of the sons of the prophets. He didn't give it to anybody else. He made it only to Elisha. Why is that? Why would he make it only to Elisha? Well, because he had proven himself committed. He had proven himself faithful. And Elijah told him to ask before I'm taken up. Ask before it's too late. Hey, the blessing is here. Do you want it? The blessing is here. Are you going to receive it? Hey, the Lord Jesus is knocking on your heart of the lost person, whoever that may be. Are you going to receive the free gift of salvation, or are you going to reject it? Ask what I shall do before it's too late. What can I do for thee? You see, many of us miss those blessings. We miss those blessings in our life because we are too busy chasing other things. We're too busy loving the world and the things in the world. We do not have our priorities right. We do not have our priorities in the way the Lord says we're to have our priorities. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But preacher, life is so hard. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But preacher, I lost my job. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But preacher, my health is failing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But preacher, this world is so hard. I just feel like I can't get it. What am I going to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you going to receive that gift? The promise? Are you going to take it? Or are you going to leave it on the table? Seek ye first. Hey, Elisha's prayer, or Elisha's request, was this. He said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Look at that there at the end of verse 9. It says, then Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Hey, listen, what a request. He didn't ask for money. He could have asked for anything, but he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a bigger house. He didn't ask for more fame. He didn't ask for any of that. He said, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You see, money and fame isn't going to make you happy. Money isn't going to do it. Money, fame, you name it, it's all a lie of the devil. It's not going to make you happy in this life. No amount of money will. We see it on the news. Right? All these people who have all the money, you're like, man, they got everything. And what happens? Their life is in a mess, it's in crumbles, and many of them go on and commit suicide. The money does not make you happy. It's a lie of the devil. But here's where it is. Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit. Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit to be a more godly husband. Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit to be a more godly wife. Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit to be a more godly grandparent, a parent. Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit in our lives to live for the Lord Jesus. Oh, for a double portion. Verse number 10. Elisha's request here was a big one. Verse 10. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Thou hast asked a hard thing. Elijah did not have the power to grant his request. Only God could give his spirit. Elijah could not grant that, but Elijah does give him a sign. He says here, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So, what's that mean for Elijah? He's going to have to stay committed, isn't he? He's going to have to stick around. If he wants that blessing, if he wants the double portion of the Spirit on him, he's going to have to go to the end. He's going to have to stick around. He's not going to be able to quit before that happens, or he will not receive it. He says, if thou see me when I am taken from here, from thee, it shall be so unto thee. Hey, oh, for a double portion of thy Spirit. Moving on here, number three, we're going to see in verses 11 and 12, the parting of Elijah in the heaven. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. As these two are walking along, talking, the chariot of fire, the chariot of horses, separates them. Separates the two, and Elijah went to heaven by way of a whirlwind. And you know what? Elisha saw it. He was there. He was committed. He didn't quit. Elisha saw it. In a flash, it was over. Just like that. Elijah was gone. Verse number 12 there tells us, and Elisha saw it. This meant one thing, that his request had been granted. A double portion of thy Spirit would be upon Elijah. What a blessing that would be. What a blessing that few people ever experience. Oh, we hear about it. We read about it in the Sword of the Lord newspaper, right? We dream about it, but we never experience it. And why is that? Why don't we ever experience it? We worship the same God that Elijah did. We worship the same God that Elisha did. Why do we not experience that in our lives? Why do we have to read about it? Well, the reason is because very few people are willing to pay the price for the view. Not willing to pay the price for the view. You see, Elisha had the best seat in the house. He had the best seat. He was in the front row. He was right next to Elijah when it happened. But I've already beat that up. That was no accident. Elisha was committed. He was committed to the very end. And moving on here to number four. Lastly, here we're going to see the parting of the water for Elisha. Parting of the water for Elisha. In a moment, Elijah was gone. In a flash, he was gone. And I find this interesting here. Look at verse 13. It says, verse 13, he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. That fast. I find this interesting here because God didn't take Elijah into heaven before they crossed the Jordan River. God took Elijah to heaven after they crossed the Jordan River, meaning that Elisha would have to trust God to get him back. He'd have to trust God to get him back over that Jordan River and back into Jericho. He was not getting back unless he trusted the Lord. He had to trust Him. So I ask you tonight, what is that thing in your life that you haven't totally trusted the Lord with? Oh, you're still holding on to whatever it is. You're holding on. You're trying to defeat it. You're trying to conquer it. And the Lord's like, hey, I'm right here. Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall do for thee. You're holding on. You're trying to do it in your own flesh. Not trusting the Lord. What is it that you haven't given totally over to Him? You see, when Elisha came to the Jordan, he stood at the bank and he smote the waters and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Have you ever had a time in your life? Have you ever had a time in your life where you stood and you prayed from the depths of your heart and you stood at that Jordan River and you said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? See, the wisest thing that any of us can do is to turn to the Lord in times of trouble. To seek His face in prayer, that's exactly the example here with Elisha. That's what Elisha did. Prayer should be first thing we do, but all, sadly, it's the last thing we do. It's the thing that we neglect. The thing that we should do the most is the one very thing that we do the least that would so help in a time of need that we could cast our cares upon Jesus and He could take it for us. Ask what I shall do for you. Elisha didn't pray a long prayer. Right? I talked this morning about the 120 in the upper room praying for 10 days. Right? This wasn't that type of prayer. Elisha's prayer was short. It was to the point. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? But you know what? His prayer got results. And it got big results. Quick. It proves some things there. Number one, it proves that Elisha's faith was not in the mantle. Remember back in 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elijah went by and threw the mantle at Elisha, Elisha knew that meant that he was going to one day take his spot. But his faith wasn't in that mantle. His faith wasn't in Elijah. Elijah was gone. Elijah couldn't help him get across there. He was gone. Elisha's on his own. He's by himself. It proves that his faith wasn't even in himself or Elisha. It proves that his faith was in God. It proves that his faith without God. You see, without God, that mantle is nothing. Without God, Elijah is nothing. Without God, Elisha is nothing. Without God, I am nothing. Without God, you are nothing. Without God, Gilead Baptist Church is nothing. We have to have the Lord Jesus in everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we put forth needs to be for His glory and for His honor. And without God, there is no miracle. Without God, this river isn't parting. Again, most of the time when we face trouble, what do? When we're standing at the Jordan River and we're like, well, how am I going to get across? Well, I've quit going to church, quit reading my Bible, I've quit praying, there's no power of God in my life, but how am I going to get across this river? We need to just think as Elisha and seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. And He says this, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. With all thy heart. With all thy soul. Being filled with the Spirit, not filled with the world. Seek Him with all of our hearts. You all here today, I do not know your needs. But God does. God knows. He can supply all of your needs if you let Him. Because He is that kind of God. He's a God of power. He is a God that is limitless. He spoke and the world came into existence. And we live in this world, in this wicked world that we live in today. It wants nothing more, along with the devil, than to destroy us. He wants nothing more than to destroy you, our children, our grandchildren. The devil wants to render us useless, defeated, discouraged. He wants you to quit. He wants you to quit. He wants me to quit. He wants us to throw in the towel. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Gilead Baptist Church, what are we going to do about it? We're standing at the Jordan River. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Hey, listen. The Bible says if we hide iniquity in our heart, that He will not hear us. He will not hear us. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. He will not hear. We need to confess it. Forsake it. Turn from it. Give it to the Lord. Ask what I shall do for thee. Ask what I shall do. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, I'm a sinner. I am. I've been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood covered my sins on the cross of Calvary. In August of 2014, I turned to Him by faith and I got saved. Put my trust in Him. But I'm still a sinner. I still sin. Until I get to heaven and I don't carry this flesh, I'm a sinner. Same as you. We all are sin because we have this sin problem, this skin, this flesh. That's just the way it is. And so in the meantime, we got to confess that sin. We got to forsake that sin. We got to turn from it. Repent. Turn from it. Okay? And give it to the Lord Jesus. Hey, listen. I'm not stopping at Gilgal. I'm not stopping at Bethel. And I'm not stopping at Jericho. I want a double portion of that Spirit. What about you? Listen, I cannot part the water, but I know who can. The Lord God of Elijah can. So my question to you is, when you stand at your Jordan, will you have the power of God in your life to part the water? When you stand at that at your Jordan, will you have the power of God in your life to part the water? So many of us Christians now, we've lost the fear of God. Our churches have lost the fear of God. We think that God exists to please me. That He should bless me because I've come to church today, taken time out of my busy schedule to come, and He should bless me. But too many Christians want to live a life of no commitment. No commitment. But here we read about what commitment is. Elisha was committed from day one. Some 20 years, all because 20 years prior, Elijah threw a mantle to Elisha. And Elisha knew that he was to pick up that mantle, and one day, he didn't know how long, one day he would take Elijah's spot. And here we are. That day has come. Look at verse 15 and we'll finish this up here. Verse 15 says, "And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said..." Now remember, these are the guys that were viewing afar off, right? They were just spectators. They didn't want to get involved. It says here, "When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." Oh, for a double portion of thy spirit. Oh, dear friend, maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior. You've not taken that first step. Today could be the day. You can do that here. You can call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. He's already died on the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin debt. He was buried and He rose again the third day. But now, Christians, you're here today and you say, "I am born again. I have trusted the Lord as my Savior." Are you living for Him? Are we committed to serve Him no matter what it takes? Even if we don't see results for many years. This was 20 years later for Elisha that he was taking up the mantle. Do you need to pray for a double portion of thy spirit in our lives? Maybe the Lord's spoken to you today, but whatever it is, don't leave here today without doing business with the Lord. Let's pray.